Hey guys, welcome to the Blissful Programmer Podcast. I'm your host Saurav, and I hope you all are doing awesome, you're feeling great, you're staying healthy, and you're taking care of your loved ones. Blissful Programmer Podcast is all about programming in general and becoming a blissful person while doing it. A blissful programmer was able to help you in any way. You can show your appreciation by following, sharing, subscribing, and supporting us, being a Patreon. On Patreon side, we have a Patreon page, and if you'd like to show your appreciation and would like to be a Patreon on that side, I would be really grateful for your support. If you are already a supporter, I'm immensely grateful for your support. You guys help me inspire others, and I really appreciate the motivation which comes from you guys. So far, I have been covering episodes which involve more on the soft skill side, and I'd be talking more about it as I go along. And I'll be talking more about more of anecdotes and stories which might be helpful for new, intermediate, or maybe even senior engineers. Apart from just, telling you what to do, I would also like this to be more of a discussion. So on Twitter, you can check me out. PRAKS@24OCT, and you can have a conversation over there as well if you'd like to ask me a question. And if you'd like to really, get into a group chat or a group kind of session, coaching session, Q&A session, there is a Patreon, support type. I don't remember the name, but I've created one. If you'd like, you can join that as well, and we can have direct conversations. Well, in this episode, I'm taking a bit of different, I'll be talking about a bit of different, more technical concept. And from this podcast, as I mentioned, apart from helping you with the soft skill, apart from helping you find the bliss while doing programming, I would also like to we should also talk about programming in general. And in today's episode, I would like to cover OAuth, mainly OAuth 2.0. but of course, if you're going to OAuth 2.0, we have to discuss OAuth as well. So if you have already used OAuth, awesome. If you already understand OAuth, awesome. If you understand really deeply, let me know if I'm wrong anywhere. I can learn from that as well, and I'm gonna share what I know. So OAuth, we all know OAuth. Twitter is using, Facebook using it, Google, it's now the new thing. Like any application you install, they're like, hey, I want, you provide a third party application access to the resources contained on a particular service, like Google or Facebook or Twitter, etc. But what exactly it is, and what is the problem it is trying to solve? So OAuth 1.0, OAuth is actually, the name is Open Authorization. It's an open standard. It's a authorization framework which is based on transfer of tokens over the internet by an HTTP service. So you can think of OAuth as a way to authorize a third-party application without the involvement of user directly entering their username and password so that the third-party application can get user data content in the, you know, the actual, the main resource, other, you know, main resource server in OAuth term, but it's resource, let's say Facebook or Google is the resource. So OAuth 2 is a much improved, much seamless authorization framework that mainly does the same thing, but you know, it mainly enables third-party application to obtain limited access to user account on a different HTTP service, such as Facebook or, you know, GitHub, etc. But more than that, it's a much improved version made after learning from the mistakes everyone made and learning from the pain points everyone had while working with OAuth 1. So OAuth 2.0 is a complete rewrite of OAuth 1.0. The only thing both of them share is the overall goals and the general, you know, the overall general user experience, you know, what the main goal is, mainly authorizing a third-party application without the need of username and password being exchanged over the internet. So OAuth is not, by the way, OAuth 2.0 is not backwards compatible with OAuth 1.0 or 1.1. So you, mainly if you don't know backward compatible, it means you can't, I mean, the function available in OAuth, the same set of code and same set of function cannot be used in OAuth 2.0. So it's not like you have an application using OAuth 1.0 or 1.1 versions and you want to, you know, shift, you want to switch to OAuth 2.0, it's not gonna be you know, like the same function cannot be used, the same code cannot be used, you have to rewrite the code. But the reason why it was done this way, because OAuth 2.0 was developed by a major conversations between big companies, good developers, smart architects, and so it's a much better and much improved way of coding rather than depending upon OAuth 1.0. So you might say, actually everyone use OAuth 2.0 nowadays, but if someone is there way who is saying, hey, I still use OAuth 1.0, so the main panel behind OAuth 2.0 would say, hey, it's so much better that you don't, you will feel so, you throw most of the code away. So for OAuth 1.0 discussion and 1.1, only two major companies were involved. One was Flickr, mainly authorization API team, and Google, their auth sub team. But for OAuth 2.0, a lot more companies were involved. For example, Yahoo, Facebook, Salesforce, Microsoft, Twitter. There were German companies, apart from the Intuit, Mozilla, Google. I think there was one German company, the name was, I think, Deutsche Telekom. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. But yeah, you can look it up. Also, all the conversations we are having in this podcast is also going to be available on my blog as my notes. So if you feel like you need to, you know, if you feel like it's a lot of knowledge coming, being thrown at you, you can just check out the notes I have. I will post the link in the description of this podcast and you can follow the link. But if you don't know my blog, it's onceaday.today, and it's subject number 4, post number 181. But anyway, of course, you're not going to remember that, so I'm going to post add a link. Let's get back to the distinction why OAuth 2.0 was I mean, came into light. When it comes to server distinction, OAuth 1.0 doesn't really have a resource server and an authorization server, while OAuth 2.0 has that distinction. Separating the resource server from the authorization server, decoupling them all together, makes you use microservice architecture, makes you use a completely different self-hosted or third-party hosted authorization server, while your resource server is your own. So you can actually utilize other authorization servers out there, and that is pretty beneficial. So you can use a platform as a service for your authorization server, and you can develop your own resource server in-house. So that overall decoupling actually is a much better approach towards small microservice or micro team based community available today. So one of the design decisions that went into OAuth 2.0 was to purposely separate the roles of the authorization server from the API server, which is also called resource server. And the reason is, as I can say, both are standalone now, and they are not coupled, so it's pretty easy to maintain. Different teams can work on it, different developers can work on it and improvement without breaking each other's flow. Now let's talk about the user issues and the use case issues of what were the pain points behind the development of OAuth 2.0. One of the major drawbacks of OAuth, give me one second. Okay, there we go. So in OAuth 1.0, we used to have signatures where a simple curl request cannot be used to, make a request on the API server. At that time, when you're using OAuth 1.0, you're forced to find, to install, configure libraries in order to make requests to the API. The reason being, the request needed to have cryptographic signing, and each request needed that. So it was a major pain point when it comes to developer happiness, where you just want to, build an an authorization flow. Now you have to install all these library, configure it so that every request you're making has a cryptographic signature. While in OAuth 2.0, we only have bearer tokens. And it is again possible to quickly make API call from a curl command. Instead of username and password, of course, we use tokens, access token. So now we can totally do curl, something, then header would be authorization, would be bearer, your access token, and that's it. If you have the access token, if you have the refresh token, that's all you need, unless your access token is expired, of course. But one line, one curl request is all you need to actually get authorization done. So you can access resource on the resource server, on the service API. And that made it very easy and improved developers' happiness when it comes to use of 2.0 version over 1.0. And by the way, that's why the major version upgrade between 1.0 and 2.0, because the back, it's much improved. Now, when it comes to flows, OAuth 2.0 has different flows, which is mainly defined as grant types. That's the main key difference in between them. Apart from that, OAuth 2.0 also allows you, it has a mechanism to develop extensions which you can use to create new kind of authorization grant types. One example is device flow, which is used for authorizing apps on devices that don't have a web browser, like Apple Watch or other such devices. OAuth 1.0 did start with three different kind of flows. However, as it went along, all the flows were merged into one. And one flow was for all of them, which worked really well for the web-based application. But when it came to other application, let's say mobile-based application, or if the client itself has to access its own credentials, its own OAuth related, it has to do authentication for his own. The overall experience was really inferior. Let's talk about scalability. OAuth 2.0 needs the client credentials only when the application obtains authorization from the user. And once you have the access token and it's not expired, you can use it multiple times, a lot of time. Even if it expired, you have a refresh token, which you can use to further, you don't necessarily have to ask user to grant permission again. You know, the pop-up which blocks which says allow. Since you have a refresh token, when your access token for some reason expires, well, you have another, session expired or something like that, and you have a, let's say on Google, they're checking the session. If you logged out, well, your access token is expired. In that case, they also provide you with request token, which you can use to ask for another access token while you have to pass the, your app's ID and secret key. But in this particular, through this particular protocol, you don't have to ask your user to grant permission again and again. When it comes to OAuth 1.0 or 1.1, as I already said, they use cryptographic signing of each request. Mainly, you have to apply cryptographic algorithm to encode the request you are sending. That's in simple way. And that poses a problem because every request you are sending, you have to tackle that part of it. There's no refresh token. So it's also not scalable when it comes to what if access token expires. By the way, back then, one access token was generated for like 1 year or even more without the possibility and the advantage of expiring access token if the actual request server, authorization server, the actual API, the actual service deemed the access token to be getting hacked or, to be unsecure, etc. So there was no way to really expire the access token. So that was another issue when it comes to use of cryptographic signing and access token when it came to the case of OAuth 1.0. These were a few of the reasons why OAuth 2.0 really came into picture. Although if you ever just started and you didn't take a deep look into it, it's kind of confusing for sure, but it's a totally new concept, so you just have to understand it. So as I said, OAuth 2.0 is a very seamless authorization framework that depends on tokens, bearer tokens, and it uses authorization server as well as requests as well as grant types to get the proper token needed. So let's discuss about the main roles or the main entities available in OAuth 2.0. Well, the first one is resource owner, which is the user who will authorize your application to access their account on Facebook or Twitter or YouTube. All right. So the application access to the user account, by the way, is limited to the scope of that authorization granted by the user himself. So if a user doesn't grant you the access, if the user or the resource owner doesn't grant you the access to maybe write, you know, on YouTube, then you won't, your application won't be able to write anything. Secondly, we have client, which is another entity, main entity. The client is the application, mainly the application you are developing, that wants the access to the resource owner's account, which is your user. So suppose you provide sign in with Facebook, sign in with Twitter, something like that. So the resource owner are the people who would be signing in, and your application is the one which is asking. So your application is the client. By the way, to get it to work, you have to set up your overall, you have to register or set up your client in that particular service. So if you are setting up, you know, Twitter authentication, then you have to go to Twitter and register your application, with your URL, your name, your callback URL, etc. We can, I will cover it afterwards, but let's keep going. So client is your application, right? Simply. Then the next ones are resource server and authorization server. Now, from your application, from your client application side, it's kind of the same server, but from Facebook side, it could be different servers. So they could have resource server. They normally have resource server, and they have authorization server, which are completely decoupled. But authorization server are the ones who would be providing the tokens, the access token and refresh token, which would be used to access the user account on the resource server. So again, resource server is the actual phase. You can think of resource server as actual Facebook database and scoped by that user. And you can think of application authorization server as the server which is only used to authorize the client, which is your app, to and gives it access token, which your client, which is your app, can use to access whatever data is available on the Facebook main data, main server, which is resource server. Before you can actually use and, you know, ask users to log in, you know, before you can use OAuth on your app, you have to register your application with the particular service. So if you're using OAuth 2.0 on Facebook, well, you'd have to register with Facebook. It probably, normally it is in the registration form, you know, either in the developer or the API portion of that website. So if it's on Facebook, you can always search for Facebook OAuth developer page or something like that, or Twitter developer or Twitter API OAuth, and it will pop up pretty high. When you register your application, which is client, right? Your third-party application, which you want users to use, and your app would gather the info. So when you do that, you have to provide mainly three different information. The first one is your application name, your application website, and the redirect or the callback URL. Now, this redirect URL is where the service will redirect the user after they have authorized, and of course they can deny your client. mainly, not your client, your application, which is the client. So think of this like this. So your application says sign in with Facebook. A user clicks there and a pop-up pops up and then they click on allow. What happened next? So when they click on allow, it will go to the callback URL, which you have to build in your application. And that part is responsible for, that part is the one which is responsible for handling the authorization code and also getting the access token, which would be used. So you can save that access token in your database as well if you want for each users, or Redis, whatever works for you. From my opinion, best is to save both access token as well as refresh token. So if access token is not working, well, you can use refresh token to get another access token from the application server. So once it is done, you'll get two main keys. All right, the first one is client ID and the second one is client secret. Well, the client ID is a publicly exposed string, and that can be used by, you know, the service API to identify that application. So anyone, if a user can check your client ID by checking their network info on Chrome browser, etc., if they trace the network. While the client secret is the secret which is used to authenticate the identity of application to the service API, but it is kept on your side, it must be kept hidden. It must be kept as a secret. Now before let's focus on the four different types of grant types, which is how or which are the different ways OAuth 2.0 could be utilized for different use cases. So the first one is authorization code, and this is the one used with server-side applications. Here, if you want to read more about it, I have also included some blogs in my post, and those are my references. But basically, here the response type in your post request is code. And it passes the client ID, it passes the client redirect URI, and it passes the scope as well as read and write. This one is the most popular one, and this has been optimized for server-side application. The source code should not be publicly exposed because you want the client secret to be hidden. This is so that the clients, so that the confidentiality can be maintained. So you always use this type, authorization code grant type, on a server-side application and hide it, and so that people would not be able to see the code in the server side, in the source code in the server side, in the server. Now again, as I said, if a refresh token was also issued, if access token expired, then the user agent, which is the user, they don't need to grant authorization again. The refresh token could be utilized to get access token again. The simple flow works like this. So suppose you have, third-party application. And your third-party application, mainly what it does is it asks for authorization request from the resource owner, which is the user. The user does an authorization grant, and your application takes in that authorization grant and passes it to authorization server. That server, checking in all the client ID, client secret, as well as the authorization grant, sends back access token. Now that access token is used, say, again, and also this is handled on the callback URL. On the callback URL, the code which is handling this whole, you know, the code should be handling the task of passing that access token to the resource server where, you know, all the user data is stored and getting all the data you need into your third-party application. So this is mainly how the first grant type works. The second grant type is implicit. It works similarly as the first one, which is authorization core grant type, but it is mainly used for mobile application or the web application which runs on user's device. Here, the client secret confidentiality is not very guaranteed. So if you have the case where you are using mobile application where people can reverse engineer your mobile application, can trace what's happening inside, do not use the first type, which is the authorization code grant type. You always use the implicit grant type because that's the right tool for the job. The only two major differences from my opinion are the first one in your URL, in your curl request, the response type is token. While the response type was code in case of the first one, which was, if you remember it right, authorization code grant type. Also, implicit grant type does not support refresh token. So that kind of sucks because your user has to allow again and again if you are using implicit grant type, but that is the right tool for the job where you don't want to expose your secret. The third type is resource owner password credentials. And as you can think, like, what does resource owner password credentials? Well, resource owner are the user and password is the password. So, well, here the users provide their username and password directly to the application. And that is passed to the applications, to the authentication server. And, you know, based on the username password, this is pretty much the way it used to be back in the old days. And this can be used to access the get the access token for the service, but this should be your last resort if nothing else is, for some reason, nothing else is possible. But this is not at all secure. You are mainly asking people to provide their username and password, Facebook username and password, to your application, and that will turn off a lot of people. I mean, that might not, not sure. But yeah, that's one of the caveat to keep into consideration. The last one is the client credentials. And this one is actually can be used by your own application to access your own service account. So suppose you have a Facebook account and your own application has a Facebook account and you want to access the details and data stored in the service account. Then you can use this grant type, client credentials grant type, to get, you know, to update the disk, you know, the details of your own account. Don't use this, the fourth type, fourth grant type, to build an application for your users. So again, four types of grant types. I know it's a lot of concept, and that's why I would be providing references so you guys can read more about it. But the four grant types are, the first one is authorization code. This is probably most popular. Here the response type is code, which you pass in your curl request or your request. Second is implicit. Third is a resource owner password credentials. Do not use it. because it relies on username and password. If nothing is possible, only then use it. And the last step is client credentials, which should be used by your own application. But I hope this whole discussion made a little bit of sense. My main goal in this episode was not to actually 100% teach you about OAuth 2.0, but more about helping you get a bit of understanding of OAuth 2.0. Again, OAuth 2.0 relies on token, passing of token from without the use of username and password from a third party, from a service API, let's say Google, let's say Facebook, etc. Secondly, OAuth 2.0 is much better in comparison to OAuth 1.0, it provides much seamless, a scalable way to implement authorization without the use of token-based authorization without the use of username and password. Third, there are four resources. Fourth one. You have to register your application with the service you want user to give permission to. So first you have to register to Facebook or Google, and only then you can pass those secrets and use it to handle the tokens. And lastly, fourth, there are four grant types and there are different four use cases, and use the right one for the right use case. We'll be talking more about these concepts, and my main goal is to make you kind of aware of the history, the motivation, and try to present the whole protocol or concept or any such detail in the minimum most basic way possible. I hope you like this episode. And yeah, let me know if you like it and what else you would like me to cover. I hope you guys have fun. I'll see you in next episode. Take care.